Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Another episode of the Bat Boys, episode 46. Sam, how are you?
Wow. I am doing okay, Tim. You know, if you had told me a year ago that we would be talking about a match in which Danny Parejo was named the king of the match, which he had a beautiful goal and played an elegant game, I would be thinking, wow, we just secured 3 points against a tough opponent. And so pretty tough today that we're talking about Danny Parejo scoring the game winner against us.
Yeah, it was a tough week to be a Valencia fan, Sam. Not a ton of highs here. 13th in the league after 6 games, going on 3 losses now. We had we'll talk a little about the Villarreal game and, of course, the bittersweet goal against us by none other than, of course, Alcacer and...
Alcacer too, of course.
Yeah, Alcacer as well as Parejo. And also a lot of Condogbia saga on the 15th.
Yeah.
They got Instagram message from Condogbia and more of the crisis that is the Lim era. So, and then to top it off, Espineta passed away, 82 years old. Sort of a legend in the club, but now the locker room's named after him. So tough week, man. And I think we should start with Condogbia, because we can get into the Villarreal a little bit. And so let me set the stage. I think on the 15th, I think it was a few days, you know, like 4 or 5 days ago, Condogbia tweeted, or no, he posted on Instagram, after destroying an ambitious project, you had to deceive the coach first and lastly me. And then he had a little hand claps too. I thought that was a good touch, of course, towards Anil Murthy. And so the Condogbia saga begins. He doesn't train. So he's basically coming out publicly that he's not happy with his situation, and as well as the transfer rumors of him to Atletico. So where do we start here, Sam? Do we start with the Atletico transfer situation? Do we start there first?
Yeah.
The frustration on that. You were voicing your frustration just in the whole situation.
Yeah, I mean it's irritating on a lot of fronts. You know, Atletico gets they have on the last day of the transfer window, they have a party taken by Arsenal, and they get a great replacement. They get Arsenal sends Torreira on a Lucas Torreira on a loan, but that's not enough. Liga says Atletico, because you had this situation happen, you get to buy an extra player, and we saw this happen last year with Barcelona where they stole Braithwaite, and then Leganés, the team that Braithwaite was playing for, then they got relegated. Leganés didn't get to buy a player, but Barcelona did. So, I mean, it's, you know, this is a ridiculous thing from La Liga. I mean, I think there's blame that we should spread around, but first and foremost, this is just an absurd rule that, you know, Braithwaite didn't even play that many games for Barcelona last year. I mean, it's just, it's really unconscionable.
He tried to juggle at his, like, debut ceremony, and then he played in one game, and that was it. And then poor Leganés, they were relegated. I try to find this rule. I really was actually surprised by this rule. I couldn't really even find it. Do you have more information on why even Atletico is able to pick up a player after the window because they feel slighted? What is
it? It seems so arbitrary. I think I read something where it's, you know, if there's some sort of, like, you know, exceptional circumstance, which is so basically just like Javier Tebas, like, gets to decide, you know, when one of the Champions League teams needs another player, you know, because it wasn't, you know, the situation with Braithwaite was because of an injury, right? It wasn't even because of a transfer. So, you know, I mean, the whole thing is just, like, totally absurd. But no, it's a good question. We should, dig into, we should get some of our legal scholar interns on this, because we hired all these legal scholar interns and they haven't really produced anything for us, Tim. I'm not happy with our interns, and they know who they are. They're listening and I'm not happy with them. So maybe we'll put them on this.
Yeah, I think they need to get busy. They really haven't done much for us. There's six of them, Sam.
Six of them.
We also don't pay them, so that's why.
You get what you pay for. Yeah, that's true.
Course, Valencia is now in this situation. I think they are open to receiving an offer, and I think it was $20 million for Condogbia, and I think the initial offer we were looking for was 15 or so. Condogbia, of course, at this point wants to leave, and similar to Gracia, basically was told by Anil Murthy that, hey, you're going to be leading this midfield. We'll get some reinforcements. Of course, that never happened. And so Condogbia comes out on Instagram, and I think it was just a big mistake for him to go about this, kind of surprising. It all happened in this way. He doesn't train. The rest of the team's kind of confused. I don't know. What was your take? I was really surprised to see him come out in such a way. Maybe he was a little motivated by Messi and the Barcelona.
Yeah.
Maybe that he did this.
It's not entirely surprising to me. We should do a history of Condogbia's tweets, because he has so many cryptic tweets. Like, there was the one last year about like the snake, and it was about like someone, one of the guys, one of the assistant coaches. This is when everything was falling apart with Salades, but he had this like really weird tweet, and like I don't even know what it means. And then there was another tweet he had earlier this season that it was like, you don't mock the crocodile and then try to cross the river. Like, I don't know what any of these things mean. It's very confusing. So, you know, his tweets, we should really like make a book of them, because they're very interesting. But I actually don't think it's interesting that you're saying you thought the lie that he was fed was that he was going to be leading this impressive midfield. I think the lie could be the reverse, that if he was told to find a team that would pay 10 to 15 million for him, and if he had, he could go, but he didn't find that. And so now there is a club that he would like to join that's willing to offer more than that, and he feels betrayed that Valencia won't sell him. And I mean, to that, I just say, welcome to football, man. Like, this is like an incredibly abnormal situation, because this is happening after the transfer window. So, you know, we couldn't replace him with anybody. And then you're really talking about, a team that is just deprived of so much of its talent, that just trying to stay alive, just trying to prevent relegation is really all this team, I think, without Condogbia can hope for. So, I'm not sympathetic to Condogbia. I think initially a lot of Valencia fans were like, yeah, way to get Anil Murthy, who is admittedly a complete boob. And this isn't exonerating Anil Murthy at all. You know, I mean, I do think it shows that if they hadn't like rushed to this, like, let's get rid of Parejo and Coquelin for free, maybe maybe right now, like, we could have kept Coquelin and Parejo with their wages if we had sold Condogbia for 20, because there were other apparently Premier League teams interested in getting him on deadline day. Yes. And I mean, like, that money could have been used. Like, you would still probably have made much more money considering the wages of Parejo and Coquelin. And I think we would be in a much, like, especially after watching the game this weekend, we'd be a much better team if we had Parejo and Coquelin. So I don't really get why there was this rush to get out, get Parejo and Coquelin out when we didn't have offers for them, right? Like, we were just forcing them out. And then it's like, oh no, wait, well, we don't have a midfield if we sell Condogbia. Well, why don't we just see how the market develops and see if, you know, and if Condogbia is the player that we end up selling, then let's do that. But I mean, yeah. So I don't want to exonerate Neil Murthy, who is a total buffoon, but you know, but a lot of the blame I think goes to La Liga here, and then Condogbia, and of course we should blame Atletico Madrid, who is just like constantly in this state of tempting Valencia players to make them to make them discontent, and then like not actually having the money. Because here's the thing: why not just pay the bloody buyout clause, which is 25 million? But guess what? Atletico doesn't want to do that, right? Like, that's what's so irritating to me about Atletico, is that they consistently make our players upset. They create this turmoil in the club. You could really attribute Marcelino's firing to the saga that was Rodrigo Moreno being sold to Atletico, which didn't happen because they didn't have money. So I mean, I'm Atletico Madrid is you know, the way they handle their transfers, I think is really is inexcusable. But there needs to be blame should be spread around to Condogbia, to La Liga, and of course to Neil Murthy.
Well, their Arsenal is somewhat to blame in this too. I don't know how the deal eventually broke down, but apparently they pulled the rug out from underneath Atletico as well. So, of course, Arsenal is wrapped up in this as well, Sam.
Of course, yeah. And here's the thing. I felt no sympathy for Atletico when that was happening. I was like, oh, thank goodness. But then, of course, they get this, like, ridiculous, like, extension. And, of course, they are interested in Condogbia. But, of course, not at the price at which he costs. So, that's – it's just like – yeah, I mean, it's just all totally absurd. But
here we are. We still have Condogbia. He didn't play this weekend. Could have used him there.
Yeah.
Because I think it was a rough match in which we saw the best of maybe Parejo, at least in certain parts of the game. So let's talk about Villarreal then, because I think we could have used Condogbia in this match. I think it was major takeaway here, Sam. I think it was a very slow, tough start for Valencia, and obviously led to the fifth-minute goal. Very similar theme as in the last few games. And I think they just had more of the run of the play. The first, I would say, like, even up to the our goal, Guedes' goal, about 35 minutes, I think they had much of the chances in run of the play. And it looked a little scary as to the difference in maybe the level of personnel between these two teams. That was probably my biggest takeaway first half hour or so.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I questioned some of Gracia's starting 11 decisions. Not sure why Blanco is starting. I really can't fathom why Kangin Lee is not playing. Also, I mean, for that same reason, if you have Kangin Lee in the middle, then you don't have Wass playing in the center, so you have him in the right back. You know, I thought, you know, just that decision, if you had started, say, Kangin Lee and then had Wass in right back, you don't have to, you know, Correa didn't look very sharp. You know, Blanco is just not at the level, I think, yet. I was impressed with, you know, Tim, in the second half, we had much of the run of play for a while. And you know, I thought the team played admirably well, and you know, I'd say the one of the good sensations was that Carlos Soler, who's not quite there, I think, is for being the center midfielder that we need, but you know, he showed a lot of promise in that position, and that's going to be crucial to Valencia's success, is if Carlos Soler can be a sort of rock solid center midfielder for us. So he's going to need time, and because he hasn't been playing this position for a while. But I did think that was one of the good takeaways from the team. But you know, I would rather have Rosic as kind of my defensive midfielder to pair with Soler over Wass. You know, I thought Wass played fine, but I'd rather have Wass in right back. I just Yeah. Correa is not quite good enough. And with a game, you know, this game we have a week before our next game. I'm not so sure why we had to rotate the players that we did.
Yeah, I'm curious about that too. Obviously, I think Gracia's forced a bit here now with Condogbia out. Wass is going to be in that center role. And I agree with you as well. And I think Correa showed his lack of ability in this game, and also that first goal, his man, as well as whoever's on the right side with him there. Also, maybe it was Guedes not covering that man. But, yeah, I agree with you there. I think Soler coming in center midfield, I hope, can move into that role. Condogbia not being in there hurt us, I think, because Wass now fills in. And I didn't see a lot of, momentum built from Soler and Wass at all, maybe the first half or so. Everything else is kind of standard. You know, we had Gomez, Guedes up top, Musa stayed on the right. We have talked a bit about Guillamon versus Diakabi, but I thought Diakabi had a good showing. But Alex Blanco, I don't know why he started. I don't know if Gracia just wants to get fired and he's going to have these strange lineups. But Alex Blanco, I think he's not the guy. So I'm curious on that front, like what that center midfielder role will look like. I would like to see Wass again out right in the right back position. And then just Kang and Lee. I'm not sure, Sam, why Kang and Lee is not getting more minutes. I feel like he's one of the few players that is giving us a lot of momentum going forward. So this lineup, to me, to reiterate, it just was a little interesting. And I think that was just what we saw in the Twitter sphere. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, you know, just on Kangin, I worry that he's getting caught in this sort of Maratone versus Gracia battle that Maratone is doing so much to create room for Kangin Lee, and whether, you know, that's having kind of a cascading, whether that's having a trickle down effect in the locker room. I mean, I think one thing that's good that is reassuring is that Maxi Gomez apparently and Kangin are best friends. So, I think
yeah,
Maxi is our best player. So, I think that's good for Kangin. But yeah, I mean, you know, this game we talked about the last couple games. We don't have a player when he's not in who can take free kicks. And here, like, there was a Carlos Soler bad free. I mean, it's just, we don't get, like, that is so basic. And I mean, it just really speaks to the lack of personnel we have, Tim. It's just, that's just really, really, it's tough. It's tough. You know, I would say I would rather have, when we're thinking about midfield players, like, if you want Cheryshev coming on off the bench, fine. But, you know, I would rather have started this game with two left backs on the left side. You know, I would have rather had, like, a Lato-Gaia partnership. You know, we saw that a little bit against the Real Sociedad match. We had the lead at that point. But, you know, you could have some defensive stoutness that way. You know, Blanco didn't provide that, nor did he provide sort of deftness of touch, so, you know, or creativity. So I think, you know, I would like to see you know, maybe Lato getting more minutes rather than Blanco there. If we feel as if we have to reserve Cheryshev or some of the other some of our other midfielders, which is becoming scarce, right? Like, our midfield is in tough shape. But
it's in tough shape. that's the thing. And but, you know, I think there was some, as you said, you know, we worked into the game second half. Javi Gracia afterwards said he was somewhat satisfied with the team as we are improving. So he still has that very Asian parent mentality, like never give a compliment to the team. But he does seem a little bit satisfied. And, you know, he said, of course, I love this quote this week. He said, while the Maratone stuff and the signings were annoying, he's still very much excited about the project and everything. So I think there's somewhat of a good theme here. And it was another highlight that, you know, just calling out the Guedes goal. I mean, really good goal from Guedes. Yeah,
my gosh, what a beautiful goal.
Picking out three goals. So he's getting a bit of momentum here, and I think this is probably the better streak he's had in a long time. He's been very streaky.
Yeah. And, I mean, we have to just say it. Hats off to Danny Parejo. Yeah. Danny Parejo, I'm happy for him. I if there was one player to shine in this match for Villarreal, I am glad it was Danny. Yeah. I love the guy. He is, of all the players on the pitch, he's the one I love the most, even though he wasn't wearing the bats on his shirt. So I was happy for Parejo. This was a sad match, but it was good to see him play so well. And just to Gracia's point, you know, I'm not sure why we didn't play some of the players, but I think given the gap in talent between Villarreal and Valencia, we did play pretty well. Yeah. You know, I think we very well could have deserved a point in that game. We didn't have the talent that they have. So, you know, I think there's something to be said for what Grassi is doing in this team. I do question a lot of the selection for the starting lineup, but, you know, I mean, he may be thinking about, you know, the next match, or he may be worried about someone who was playing in international friendlies the week before. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure what he was thinking there, but I do think that the quality of the team is good. You know, something, Tim, that is really sad, but if you look at 538, if you look at Nate Silver's, if you look at their predictions for La Liga, Valencia is 10 times more likely, according to their data, to get relegated this season than to make Champions League. And that is a really, really scary stat. But Gracia stays as the coach. If we keep Gracia in, I don't think that's going to happen, even with sort of subpar talent that we have. So, you know, I think that there's a chance that we could even get into those Europa League positions with this team. But obviously, Maratona is making it really hard. The Liga is making it hard. Atletico Madrid is making it hard. And now Condobia is making it hard.
Yeah, I mean, the talent in La Liga makes it hard. Many teams in La Liga, so many good games. And I agree with you, too. We're almost a completely opposite team. I wouldn't say we were star-studded last year, but we had, you know, of course, Preo and Coquelin. We had very much a lack of discipline, lack of organization under Salades. And now look at a good example of where we are today is look at Diakabi. I mean, Diakabi is almost, after the last 2-3 games, the opposite player than he was last year. And we talked about this. We said, I think Salades could be the one not bringing him the discipline that he needs, and maybe even the skill set he needs. And I look at him now and kind of look at the defensive unit. I think we look very good in terms of like how we're organized and the effort across the field. So I don't know. Yeah. A team like that, I don't know if a team like that is relegated, right? I think there's much more upside than downside. If Gracia had left, it'd be very, very tough. So we're very fortunate here. All right, what else from the game? Did I miss anything?
I'd say we just go right into predictions against Elche, Tim.
All right. Real quick, I want everyone here to go to the 18th minute. There is a very deep, out of their defensive half, Villarreal play. It went to Parejo, midfield. He's covered by two people. He heads it backwards. They keep possession. He runs all the way down the field, gets the ball back, gets the shot off on Domenech. Great save by Domenech. It could have been a very good goal. And I was like, that's Parejo right there. 18th minute for me.
Yeah.
That was it.
He's,
I had to call it
he's
out.
He's just so class, man. He's so classy.
All right. So that leaves us, 13th now. And we have Elche coming up this Sunday. You go first.
I'm thinking a 1-0 win, Tim. It's going to be – we're going to have our first shutout of the season – or, I'm sorry, our second shutout of the season. I think we're going to get this one. It's going to be tough away from home. But we actually won our last before the Villarreal match, we did win away from home. So we've proven we could do it. So I think we're going to have a better lineup in this game, and it's going to be 1-0, and we're going to have a lot of control in this one, even though the score is not going to reflect the level of control that we exerted in this match, Tim.
I like that. I'm going to go with 2-0 here.
I like that too. That's a good.
I like good. 2-0. Now Guedes is here. Maxi's here. We're capable of getting 2 goals. I think we'll even keep that shutout from Elche. I mean, they lost what? They're coming off a 3-0 Real Sociedad loss. They have a narrow win against Eibar. Tied to Huesca. So I think we're going to go in 2-0 here, despite being away.
Yeah, it's always tough against La Liga, but I think, you know, the fact that Guedes maybe has a little bit of confidence, Carlos Soler maybe feeling it, maybe getting it a little bit more comfortable in that position.
Yeah.
And then the stoutness on our defensive line. I feel good too, Tim. I think it's going to be a win. So we will discuss this more next week, my friend.
Yes. Wait, real quick. What's our next game? I think we do a prediction for this one too, because we have Betis on Sunday. We may not see everyone until then. What do you
wait, Betis?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's Elche's. We have.
Yeah, Elche.
Well, we have a Sunday game, I thought. Let me see.
No. We have a Friday game.
Yeah, I know, but after that, I was just checking.
Oh, no, that's the week after.
Yeah, you're
we'll
right.
We'll be talking before the Getafe match.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was this Sunday. I thought we had Getafe this Sunday. All right, next Sunday it is. And until next time, sir.
Until next time, Tim.
All right, man. Adios.
Adios.